Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. I am Jim Browdy, and she is Marjorie Ginn. This guy used to be our guest on Open Mic on Tuesdays. What would we ask him every week, Marjorie?
We'd ask him when he was going to announce whether or not he's going to run for governor.
Right, and he hadn't made up his mind. Well, apparently we now have a space to fill on Tuesdays, because as of yesterday, via video, Charlie Baker decided there are second acts in Massachusetts' political lives, as he says he's running for governor again. With us is the Republican candidate for governor, Charlie Baker. Hello there, Charlie.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Jim? Welcome back from vacation.
Well, thank you very much. Welcome to the race, Charlie.
You seem like you were gone forever.
Yeah. Well, I said to Marjorie, I'm not coming back until Charlie Baker makes up his mind.
That's
that was
right.
My position.
Well, Charlie Baker was happy not to get asked by you for 2 or 3 weeks over and over again.
Okay. Well, Charlie, you did make up your mind right after Labor Day. And as everybody knows, you ran for governor once before. You didn't quite make it. Tell people why this time is the time to vote for Charlie Baker.
I think main reason I got into this race again was I really think we have a great state with great people, and I think we can be greater than we are. And I think we need to do stuff to improve the quality of our economy and our employment experience. I think we need to do things to improve all of our schools. We have we've made tremendous progress on education reform, but I think we have a way to go, especially with respect to the achievement gap between sort of terrific performing communities and communities that are sort of being left behind and the kids that are being left behind in them. And I've been a state official and a local official, and I have a pretty good sense about what we could do to create some real partnerships between state government and local government to create great communities everywhere. And I really want to focus on those big three issues. What are we going to do about jobs? What are we going to do about great schools everywhere, and how can we sort of think differently about the relationship between the state and the Commonwealth cities and towns to create great communities across our Commonwealth? And when people ask me why I would do this, my answer is pretty simple, which is I think this is a great place, and I think it can be greater, and I would like to have an opportunity to take my case to the voters on that. And then they get to make the call.
Charlie, yesterday, Jim Browdy, I thought rather snarkily, was making fun of your announcement video.
I wasn't
video.
Making fun of it.
Yes, he was.
I criticized. I was not crazy about it.
I thought it was one of the things. It was much more homey. You did it in your backyard. You were there with your wife, Lauren, pictures of your kids. Lots of women didn't go for you last time around, and I wondered if this was a conscious thing. More family, more about your being a family man to go after women voters.
It was actually it was a little different than that. I mean, one of the things that really shocked Lauren and me when the last race was over was how many people who I worked with when I was at Harvard Pilgrim, or I worked with when I was in state government, or we knew from around town because their kids and our kids were friends, said to me after the race was over, and said this to Lauren too, they never saw the guy that they saw every day in the campaign. They never saw the big goofy dad. They never saw the sunny leader of the pack. They never saw the guy who sets really high standards and then does everything he can to make sure everybody else achieves them. And that kind of hurt, to have so many people say, where was the guy I know? Where's the Charlie Baker that I see every day? And frankly, part of that video, and I know Jim gave me a hard time about the fact that I love my kids.
That's right. Which
God.
You're supposed to hate them.
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
I think I didn't spend enough time the last time talking about what I would want to accomplish and where I want to focus my efforts. And I didn't spend enough time last time really trying to help people understand why I would do this at all. And a big part of that message, and I agree, was a little homey, but frankly, I'm a bit of a corny guy when you get right down to it. And I want everybody to grow up in a great community. I want everybody to go to great schools. And I want everybody who wants to work to be able to. I mean, that's just a fact. And I agree that it's a different tone. But I really want people at the end of this, whatever happens, I don't want all my friends and former coworkers to say to me, I didn't see the Charlie Baker I know.
So Charlie, we're going to see not your word, but mine, the real you, based on what you just said. Are we also going to see a new you? A piece in the Boston Globe yesterday morning when it was announcing, or maybe the day before, said that unlike what you did in 2010 when you took a no-tax pledge, that you would not take a no-tax pledge this time. Is that true?
I'm a big reform before revenue guy, Jim, and you know that better than anybody.
I know that, yeah.
But one of the things I learned about that pledge is when you take that pledge, one of the things you do is you tie yourself into the notion that you love everything about the current tax code. And the current tax code, as we've talked about on your show, has a lot of nooks and crannies and a lot of odd components to it. And I don't want to ever put myself in a position where if we have big opportunities to simplify it and get rid of some really, you know, sort of inappropriate and unfair and uncompetitive loopholes and things like that, I want to be able to do that. And but I'm going to be very, I believe in the reform agenda. I believe we need a lot more reform on Beacon Hill. I want a government that's as thrifty and as independent and as ambitious and as hardworking as the people of Massachusetts. But I don't want to tie myself into the notion that I love the tax code, because I don't.
So just so I'm clear, that while you wouldn't rule out a reform or rejigger the tax code, are you ruling out during a four-year or during first term as governor any increase in taxes in any circumstance? Is that pledge being taken again?
Well, I'm going to be a real hard nut to crack on that one. Let's put it that way.
But you're not taking a no new tax pledge outright.
I'm taking a pledge to be all about reform first, and then we can talk about revenue later. In Massachusetts, we spend too much time talking about revenue and not enough time talking about reform.
You said a minute ago, Charlie, that this is a great place. You want to make it greater. How would you review the last, well, actually now it's almost 7 years. How would you review the 7 years of Deval Patrick?
One of the things Lauren and I talked a lot about before we got into this race is we want to talk about where I want to take the state, right? We're going to talk about where we want to go. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about where we've been. And I have tremendous respect for the governor. I ran against him. I had some disagreements with him. The voters made the call. And I'll leave it to others to sort of ultimately write the legacy story. For me, I just want to spend my time talking about jobs, schools, and communities. And that's going to be my focus from here on in.
You know, and sorry, Charlie, go ahead.
I hate to say this, guys, but I probably got time for one more. And then, believe it or not, there it used to just be you were the only people in the media that wanted to talk to me. But things are, at least today anyway, things are a little different.
Okay, well, I have one more, and then Marjorie, I have one more, a quick one. I was going to get into the big dig financing thing. We'll hold it for next time. Much more current events. You want to lead the state of Massachusetts. One of our two senators yesterday voted present on a resolution relating to attacking Syria. What was your reaction as both a citizen of the state and as someone who wants to run it?
I think, you know, whatever your perspective or your opinion is on those sorts of things, I think you need to stand up and be counted. I don't pretend to be that smart on that issue, because that's not what I've been focusing on. Okay, what I want to be is the kind of person who, if I'm lucky enough to be governor of the Commonwealth, people will expect me to make decisions, because that's why they elected me, and then to support and justify those decisions, whatever they happen to be. I think the voters in Massachusetts, generally speaking, want their elected officials, you know, to make the call. That's the whole point in the first place.
Charlie Baker, one quick last thing for me. The Herald reported they went to visit your campaign office surreptitiously. They snuck right in there, got the address in the paper. Now Boston Magazine is reporting that your campaign headquarters is a former sleep lab. Now, Charlie, I don't know. Is that a good symbol for the race for governor or not?
I think the most important thing I can tell you about that one, folks, is if you're looking for a campaign that knows how to find a great bargain and a great deal and deliver more for less on behalf of the people of the Commonwealth, we're your guys.
Hey, Charlie, we really appreciate your time. Good luck in the campaign, and we hope to speak to you
constantly
through next November. Charlie Baker, Republican candidate for governor of Massachusetts. Our number is 877-301-8970. Charlie has other people who want to speak to him, so we want to speak to you. What do you think of what Charlie had to say in the last 10 minutes? And secondly, what do you think of the reincarnation of the Baker for governor campaign? 877-301-8970. You know, we played yesterday Scott Brown and Dan Ray show saying he's not Mr. Personality. Charlie, I mean, I think what Charlie Baker said I find to be legit, too. We know him a little bit. The Charlie Baker we knew, by the way, on Tuesday afternoons when he would call our show, and the Charlie Baker we know casually outside of that, is a much more – it's sort of like the Al Gore deal I said yesterday.
Yeah.
Much funnier, much more down-to-earth, much more – but the issue is there are a lot of people who can't translate what they are in their private lives to what they become in their public lives, and that's a real test for him, in addition, obviously – to the issues. Let me just say, I think it's pretty significant what he said about taxes. His position, while he continues to say, and I don't want to misquote him, we'll have the actual sound up on our website a little bit later today, and you can listen for yourself, reform before revenue. He didn't say no new revenue ever. He said, you know, I'd be really hard nut to crack on it. That's a pretty dramatic guy for a guy who took a no tax pledge, which is one of the centerpieces of his campaign
in
2010.
Because I think it's clear, and I'm guessing it's clear, that he was too far to the right. The last time around in Massachusetts. We are a Democratic state. The vast majority of voters are independents. Women play a very important role. He's a social liberal, which is important to a lot of women. But you don't want someone that you think is going to come in and start chopping. And especially when he is not Bill Weld, Mr. Easygoing Charm and Mr. Natural and stuff like that. So I think to get those independent votes and those women's votes that he needs to convince people that he may be a fiscal conservative, but he's not going to decimate the programs that people love in the state of Massachusetts.
I think he has got to achieve that goal. 877-301-8970. What do you think of Charlie's 10 minutes with us? And what do you think of the Baker candidacy in general?
Herb in East Boston. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
I have a question. What is your stance on the casino that is proposed for the East Boston area?
I want you to know I have not yet declared my candidacy for governor, and until such time, what do you mean? What is our position
is
Charlie's position?
He's gone. He's left.
Charlie Baker's position.
Well, I can tell you, by the way, I tweeted something about Charlie yesterday. I tweeted two things about Charlie yesterday. One, that I wasn't crazy about the video. Two, that he had the best position, in my opinion, of anybody on casinos. My position is the best position for Massachusetts is no casinos. But in light of the
fact that
we're going to have him, Charlie Baker's position in 2010, and next time we talk to him, we'll ask him if it's still his position in 2014, is if we're going to have casinos, we should have one. Let's have one. Let's build it. Let's see if people come. Let's see what it does to the community. After which, if it's a good thing, then maybe we build more, but start with one. And I have to say, I think Charlie's idea then, again, I don't know if it's his idea now, was exactly the right one. So I don't know how he feels about East Boston, but I do know that in 2010 he supported a one casino solution, Herb.
So Charlie's is the second best idea.
Herb, thank you. Second best.
Second
That's why I tweeted last night. Second best to, and by the way, you can follow me on Twitter at Jim Browder and Marjorie at Marjorie Egan. Herb, thank you for the call.
Manuel from Lexington, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Pleasure.
Listen, I think Mr. Baker is a really nice guy, but there's an 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that is that any Republican that's electable in Massachusetts is going to be considered a Bolshevik by the rest of his party. And that's a, you know, that's a very, very big consideration for me as a voter. And I don't think it's Mr. Baker's problem. I think it's a general problem. I honestly think he would do better running as an independent.
Well, wait a second. So let's assume there's not a Tim Cahill. There's not a third candidate in this race. There actually is an independent who's thinking of running. I can't think of his or her name. But Manuel, if Charlie Baker runs as a fiscal conservative and a social liberal, which I, again, as Marjorie said, is I think how he wants to run, against a Democrat, where are those hardcore conservative voters going to go if they don't go to Charlie Baker? Are they going to vote for Steve Grossman or Martha Coakley or Juliette Kayyem? Who are they going to vote for?
No, they're going to vote for him, but unfortunately he can't win. He can't become governor of this state unless he gets a substantial number of people.
Well, that's unenrolled. That's exactly Marjorie's point.
But
he's got to appeal to the middle.
Manuel, many people have done it before. I mean, Mitt Romney just did it before that. Paul Cellucci did it before that. Bill Weld did it. Am I backwards? Yeah, I'm in the right order. And so I think you can do it. I think you just have to be – those were all very, very moderate Republicans. And frankly, you can be a moderate Republican as long as you're not planning on running for president or something following that. It would be
Manuel, do you also know that
then you have to go to the right like Mitt Romney did.
There are more unenrolled voters, meaning not registered as Democrats and Republicans, than Democrats and Republicans combined in Massachusetts. So obviously that's who decides elections in the state – are the unenrolled. Manuel, thank you for the call. The other issue we didn't get to, I mentioned, is seconds after Charlie put out his video, the Democratic Party had a video attacking him on the same basis they attacked him in 2010 about being the guy behind the Big Dig financing, some of which was very problematic when he was the chair of administration and finance, chief fiscal guy for Weldon Salucci. And by the way, his response, remember what he said to Brian McGrory in a column Brian McGrory wrote in 2010? Is I was just one of 50 people involved in that. When you have Bill Weld say yesterday, he's the smartest guy I've ever met in government, meaning Charlie Baker, I think Charlie's going to do better, and I assume he would agree, than saying, hey, I was one of 50
that
people making these decisions.
But I think, on the other hand, Harvard Pilgrim was in bankruptcy, and they had that special state, whatever it is, come in and bail them out, and then
Charlie took it. It was a huge, huge, huge asset for him.
Andrew is emailing about something that many people have mentioned as a problem for them, is the lunacy of the National Republican Party. That's going to be a difficulty for Baker. I didn't see that in Massachusetts, but many people have mentioned it. So very possibly I'm wrong, and they're absolutely right.
Well, but you made the point. You didn't just make it, but you made the point in the newsroom when we were talking about this. If you're running to be part of the federal government as a United States senator or a congressperson, as a Republican, it's very hard to escape the extremists in the Republican Party.
Right.
If you're running for governor of a state where you're the chief executive, well, I'm sure the Democrats are going to try to brand him with the worst of the extremes of the Republican Party. He's the boss. I mean, he or she runs the state.
I think you're absolutely right. I don't think it's an issue.
Well, you're the one that's right. I'm agreeing with you.
But many people are saying, including this emailer,
right,
Andrew, that's saying he's going to have this problem because of the lunatics around the
country. Let me be clear. So you were agreeing with me, who was agreeing with you, who was agreeing with who?
What I'm saying, Jim, is that many other people seem to be disagreeing with us. That's the point
they
I'm
do?
Trying to make. And I know that you are always right on these things.
And I'm agreeing with you.
Occasionally, I may be right.
877
once or twice a year.
301.
Can't keep up with you.
80, well, what is the old line? That tired line, a clock is right. Even a clock is right twice a day.
No,
is
you know who's got the best line about you I ever heard? The governor of the Commonwealth. What does he always say about you, Deval Patrick?
Deval Patrick said on the air on our radio show while I was standing there about 2 years ago, he said, sometimes wrong, never in doubt.
I thought
that is a real compliment.
He just nailed it. Okay, let's take one more quick call. Let's go to Phil in Bridgewater. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
I was just struck that Charlie Baker wants to run the state, but he has no opinion on Syria and says that he's not focused on something like that. It's just an example of a leader who won't give an opinion. That's what constituents want, leaders with opinion.
Well, Phil, let me be clear here. I did not ask Charlie Baker what his position was on the resolution. I asked him what his position was on Ed Markey voting present. And he said, he danced around a little bit, but he ultimately said he thought your obligation when you run for office is to take a position. So while it was not a punch in the face kind of criticism, he was critical of Markey. But in fairness to him, I didn't ask him how he would vote if he was a member of Congress. Phil, thank you very much for your call. You know, Charlie was very good to us for a long time. He was available every single Tuesday, virtually every single Tuesday. And we are hoping in the year plus that's coming up before he's not going to have a primary, November of 2014, that he will be available to you through us quite a bit.
Jim, we have question for you. It's from Tom on the email.
I don't want to hear it.
Tom is wondering if Scott Brown will be yesterday's news as Jim Browdy develops another man crush.
That was Brian McGrory yesterday.
Baker.
Brian will never be on the show
again.
Would
you care to comment, Jim?
No, I would not. I would not care to comment. So that's it. And by the way, later today, if you want to hear the Charlie Baker interview in its entirety, particularly, I think the most significant things are what he said about Markey, what he said about sort of getting the real him out, and I think most importantly, what he said about taking a no tax pledge or not will all be up on WGBHnews.org sometime later in the day.
Okay, so up next, how is it that television, that huge big black block that sits in your living room, hasn't changed that much over these last 50 years? The content certainly has, and how we're getting these shows has changed as well. What does the future have in store for TV and how we watch it? Kara Miller joins us for that conversation up next on 89.7 WGBH. Boston Public Radio.